Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Safety Third podcast. Today's very special, this is an average, if not below average episode. We have guests. No, we don't have guests. We have the normal hosts. I did a thing.
Hello, everybody.
Kevin.
Hello.
Nigel. Nile Red. I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say? Do I say Nile Red or do I say Nigel?
I don't care.
Yeah, people are still getting mad at me for the podcast. I'm getting emails and all the comments complaining about bullying Nigel and not introducing the host because the audio listeners can't tell.
I am the most bullied guest or host. I don't know.
Nigel's been sending messages in the chat pleading with us to stop bullying him.
Yes,
I'm surprised you're still doing it, Nigel.
I know it's such a horrible experience.
Nigel's the glue.
we did the last podcast with Jabril, and there was a topic I wanted to talk about that we never got to because we were talking about AI and all sorts of things.
I want to talk about more AI. I like that one. That was good.
Jabril is a great. I think Jabril could be. We should have him as a host as well because he does such a good job playing devil's advocate.
He does.
That, you know, it's just like, it makes like a good discussion. I think that we need to talk about stuff where we yell at each other.
Do you want me to be devil's advocate in this?
I mean, if you feel like it, I don't want, see, the thing is, oh my God, this is the problem with the internet, dude. Like,
everyone. How do you be devil's advocate without people
getting canceled?
Yeah.
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 So I came up with a topic that I think does a pretty good job of being controversial because I think that it is controversial, but it also makes sense at the same time. And okay. It makes me feel conflicted, and I don't know if it'll make you guys feel conflicted too. Are you ready for the topic?
Lay it on us.
I'm
ready
excited.
To get canceled. How do you feel about billionaires in space? There's been a lot of drama about it recently, about Jeff Bezos.
A lot of billionaires.
And,
you're right. We can't get canceled
Elon
for this.
Musk and the Virgin.
I feel like this is a safe topic.
Richard Branson. You know,
here's what'll get you.
I have no opinion.
Canceled.
Okay, here's the controversy. Let me just lay
it's
out.
Actually, space that they're. Do you think it counts?
That's not the controversy.
No, that's not.
Okay, Kevin, that's the controversy.
Let me just, semantics.
Kevin completely just misses the whole.
let me lay out like the general controversy. For people who don't know the context or know why. Wait, I think this is kind of...
Before you do that, one second, I need to turn on my AC. I tried to turn it off so the sound would be better, but we have a heat wave here, and I'm just dying. So
it's like 9 p.m. Is it still hot? All right, we got to wait for 9
p.m. Oh, it's so hot.
I'll explain it to the audience while you're doing your AC.
No, one second.
This is awkward.
It's just us. The glue's gone. The glue's disappeared. Who do we bully?
We can't cut this out either. It has to stay in the whole time.
He's the bully glue.
Bully me. Try to bully me.
I don't actually like your pink light, Will. I think it's a waste of money.
What do you think about that, Kevin?
I think your fake plant is stupid.
It is fake.
Because you can't take care of the real plant.
You have to give it water.
Actually, I like your fake plant.
I like it.
I do too. You have a... Let's see. Real plant behind you, Alex.
Yeah, it's real, but it's dying.
Nigel, is your plant real or fake? Nigel, is your plant real or fake?
Which one? The one behind me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fake.
Fake.
It looks fake.
If it were real, it would be dead.
Yeah. Well, it is dead because it's plastic.
But if it were real, it would look significantly worse.
Okay, Alex is the only one responsible enough for a real plant.
Here is the publicly complained about billionaire in space debacle. People are upset that there are billionaires spending a lot of money just to go to space as if it's a hobby instead of spending money on like social stuff. So either paying more taxes or donating money directly. People are upset about spending money on going to space. But, you know, at the same time, the controversy is that a lot of people tend to kind of think negatively about going to space without realizing the benefits that come with going to space. Like, there's a lot of good and a lot of science that has come from it. And so where's the middle ground? Like, how do you decide if billionaires going to space is bad or just going to space in general is good?
Well, I think you need to look at how much money they've actually spent and then whether that could be... So, like, someone like Jeff Bezos, he's not doing anything good with his money anywhere.
No, he made those, like, relaxation boots in the Amazon warehouse.
Oh, well, you can kill yourself in them.
Suicide boots. Yeah.
So I think for someone like Jeff Bezos, his money might actually... Because he's not giving it anywhere else. So it's probably better to just be burnt up in space.
Right. Do you know that... I just read an article on this. He just bought a house in LA for like $120 million. It's 9 Whoa. Acres of like pristine, like kind of flat land, just like right in the middle of LA. Which is insane. Like 9 acres in LA is absolutely insane. Like you could build, you know, probably like, you know, if every house is a quarter acre, which would be like a lot of land for a house. What's 9 times 4? Like over 50.
Close enough.
56. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. I'm up.
Yo, your 30, math. You gotta go back. You gotta go 36. Back to the mental math.
36. All right, cool. We figured it out. 36 homes. You could build like 36 normal homes on a plot like that. So it's a big plot of land. So I don't know. Like, he made his money. He did it all legally. Why shouldn't he be able to spend it going to space?
I think first we need to define what space is.
No. I think it's not relevant to the argument.
I don't know that
space.
I don't know that much about the. You explained the whole controversy, but I don't really have a huge opinion on it. I think one problem is that people are much more judgmental about how others spend their money than how they spend their money. And I think that's just the problem, right?
Right.
It's like it's very easy to point out that somebody else is wasting their money, but you never really judge yourself as bad. So when they see someone like a billionaire spending a lot on space, it's easy to say that he's wasting it and he should be doing this. But it's like, I don't know.
I mean,
well, yeah, I half
finish,
agree.
Finish like, my thought for me.
If you're playing devil's advocate, right? Let's say you're a billionaire. You have accumulated billions and billions of dollars.
You're not supposed to say you're playing devil's advocate. You're supposed to sound like a jackass.
Yeah. I'm sorry. but let's say like, because then life just turns into like the end game, right? So then you're like, well, what can I start doing with my money? I would totally go to space as well. I'd be like, well, this life's boring. I've got too much money. Let's fucking shoot myself into the, you know.
Right. So what if I die and the rocket explodes?
Yeah, exactly. You either kill yourself or you go to space.
Right.
It's the other thing, too, is like the only way to become a billionaire is by the mass exploitation of people. Yeah. Right. So it's like, so why would you give your money back to social causes? You just got to keep furthering.
Yeah.
You know,
you obviously don't care about social causes if you are a billionaire.
Right.
I mean, what would people expect them to do with their money, though? Like, end hunger or something like that? Maybe pay their employees decently?
Well, pay their employees better?
Maybe pay them. Stop exploiting.
I mean, you can. The thing is, you can do both. It's not like he's using all of his money to go to, you know, they're using all their money to go to space. I'm sure they have tons left over that they can still do.
How much did it cost? I think someone asked that before.
I think it was like $500 million or something for Bezos.
What's his net worth?
I think that one flight was $500 million. Let's see. Hey, Zach. How much did Jeff Bezos spend going to space?
No, the whole.
No, Kevin's got a point though.
No answer.
It says 196 billion. Wait, no,
so like
that's net worth. That's net worth.
Okay. Oh no.
That's a lot of money.
That's still
five.
Insane,
wait, 5.5 billion. Yeah,
that sounds. I think that sounds right.
That's so the whole cash.
The whole program cost 5.5 billion for Bezos to go to space. Then I think the specific flight may have been $500 million or something.
And I'd say here's my other problem with that whole situation is, if I were a huge billionaire, like Jeff Bezos, I would probably try to go to space.
Yeah.
So, how do I criticize that when that's what I would probably do?
I feel like I'm even afraid now. I'm not, just in case anyone thinks this, I'm not a billionaire. I'm afraid to buy things. Like, I'm afraid, like, even when I bought the tungsten cube, I was afraid that people would get mad at me for spending $2,000 on a piece of tungsten.
Yeah.
And like, cause like I, dude, I've never like when I started the YouTube channel, I couldn't have bought a cube of tungsten. Like I spent less money on the laser cutter than I spent on that cube of tungsten. Like my car, I bought my car for like, you know, $3,200. Like that tungsten cube literally cost more than my car is worth right now. The Taurus.
And this I'm afraid. Because yeah. There's other YouTubers that like Jake Paul spend, you know.
Yeah.
Like, $500,000 on a car and you buy a tungsten cube as your
and
first
people
big purchase.
Envy that.
Right. So like I'm afraid of spending money because people will get mad at me. But at the same time, like, you know, when you make, like, if you have a job and you've made some money, like, what are you going to do with it? Just sit on it? Like, it's fun, especially for us. I think we're kind of abnormal when it comes to what you want to buy. Like, you know, having like the BattleBot or the tungsten cube or like there's some other stuff I'm looking at right now. Like that sounds really like I love buying and like finding weird stuff or spending money on a cool like project or experiment.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I was looking after we did the high voltage stuff. I was looking for higher current high voltage supplies, and there was one that could do like 100 milliamps at 60,000 volts, or was it 10 milliamps? I don't remember. It was a lot of milliamps at a lot of volts, and it was like $2,000. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, can I buy this? Yes. Like, it's a business expense, right? Like, you write it off, but, like, writing off only saves you, it might save you, like, $400 or something, right? So you're still spending $2,000 that you wouldn't have spent otherwise. And, but it's, like, at the same time, like, I don't need it. I don't really want it that bad. So, like, at what point, you know, when you have so much money, like, where do you draw the line with, you know,
wait,
this is no longer.
It probably has good resale value. Like,
I'm just saying, because. You said when you have so much money, are you implying that you have so much money?
No,
are you
no,
actually
I'm implying if you were a billionaire. No, I'm saying when
oh,
if you have
sorry.
So much money as if you were a billionaire.
Okay.
Like, almost like buying a tungsten cube like wouldn't be exciting for Bezos, right?
No,
I don't
he
know.
Probably has 100.
He probably has hundreds.
Cubes.
Well, I mean,
so like
juggles
I
them
mine.
All day long.
He has a warehouse full of them.
Yeah, well, we bought them from Amazon. So
yeah,
you stole Bezos' cube.
Oh no.
But he has one less now.
I'm just getting at like you know, you should be allowed to spend money without people getting upset at you. Because I see all sorts of weird stuff where people like they fight amongst you know themselves. Where it's like someone gets mad online of someone buying a $100 pair of shoes. Like, oh, that's you have to be rich to buy a $100 pair of shoes. And it's like if you can buy a $100 pair of shoes, this absolutely does not mean that you're rich at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think the big difference is though, you didn't get your money from exploiting thousands of people around the world. Jeff Bezos did. So,
right.
But then it doesn't make sense that he would give the money back, like Niall said, because he obviously doesn't care about it. So the hypothetical is a bit strange.
Yeah, I think my like kind of end conclusion for someone making a bunch of money is that it kind of takes a very special type of person to make that much money. Like,
what you say, they're all dicks.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe
you probably
little
have
bit,
to be a
like,
little cutthroat and
yeah. I don't know. Maybe maybe having like no like less empathy. Like maybe
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that's like a thing, like, right? Like studies
of is there a thing that makes people have a hard time like understanding other people's emotions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't
feel
empathy.
Tell by his,
yeah.
You can tell by his laugh. The guy is so disconnected from everything.
I mean, look at like Zuckerberg too. Like Zuckerberg is really strange. I mean, I'm sure he's nice, but you know that Smoke and Meats video really does not put him in a good light. And at the same time, like you know, you have made it. You've won. You've beat the game. You've made a bunch of money. Like you could literally buy. You could buy anything anybody ever wanted. But you
that's still in it.
Like, why did
Zuckerberg? Why do you still show up to work every day?
That's what I'm wondering. Why does he even work at Facebook? Like, is it really that fulfilling that you want to keep going back?
I think
probably because he's actually spying on everybody in the world. It's probably interesting to see all this data.
I think you kind of. At that point, it's not even money. Like, money is sort of the metric to the thing that you actually want, which is, like, I've built this machine. Like, they just... It's like an engineer, dude. They just like building things. And, like, the success metric is making more money.
They just,
and
like, so, keep tinkering with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it means that you've made the machine better and better and better. Like, the real enjoyment comes from making the Amazon, not making money. It just happens to be that money is the success. Yeah.
I understand that, but it's, like, I just hate Facebook. Like, in all facets.
Yeah, Facebook
like
sucks. Just
everything. The layout, what it's doing to society, everything about it is terrible. But it's like, you can argue that Amazon is... Actually, I don't even know. I don't like Amazon either. But with Facebook, even if you made the perfect Facebook, it still sucks. Like, I don't see why you would even want to put all your time and effort into doing it. Because even if you made the perfect social network, it's not really... that interesting. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But it's like, it's become about, it's not about like a product. Like I feel a lot of like nowadays, there's not a whole lot of things like products that are made to make people's lives better. It's like, how can we charge more to make more money? So like,
yeah,
we were talking about like a scale the other day with somebody like what is a scale, a bathroom scale? It's like a spring and some plastic and a little dial, and you step on it and it reads your weight.
It says numbers that you don't like.
Right, like it should. Yeah, exactly. It should cost like what, $30 for like a nice one, and then you look at like, oh, there's a digital one that connects to your smartwatch, and like we have one for Fitbit, and it's like if you get on the Fitbit bathroom scale, which first of all the scale was like over $100 at the time when we bought it, and you're not wearing a Fitbit, like if you're a guest. It will literally tell you your weight, but then it'll take like 15, 20 seconds where it's trying to connect to a Fitbit and you can't use the scale in that time.
That's so fucking strange.
And it's like, so if you, like, I use the scale all the time for measuring stuff. Like, we hung a TV up on the wall the other day and I was like, oh, I should figure out how much a TV weighs before buying a wall mount. And it's like an 80-pound TV. But, like, you know, you get on the scale, you weigh yourself, and then you pick the TV up and get back on the scale and weigh yourself and subtract the two. And it's like, I had to sit there and wait for, like, 20 seconds for the damn scale to, like, get out of its stupid thing. So it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, did they actually add any value to the scale to justify charging
$100? Why did you buy this?
The what, the scale?
Yeah.
Chelsea had a Fitbit and she was like she was working out and she was trying to track her weight and she would kind of like get upset with, you know, her progress. And I'd be like, you just need to get a smart scale and you can kind of see it over time. Oh, and so you can sort of see like, oh, it could just be, you know.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm not talking about
you. my trick.
I'm talking about the stupid Fitbit scale that won't, you can't get on it after you've already measured your weight because it has to like try to send the weight to your watch.
Yeah.
And so it just sits there stuck.
My trick is just don't weigh yourself.
That was a close one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do the same thing too, but when I do go to weigh myself, that's the only scale we have, and I get really frustrated at it. But I guess what I'm getting at is that, like, a lot of products, a lot of like things, they just like they make something not to add more value, but to just extract more money. Like, how can we make a coffee mug cost more money? How can we do this to make more money?
And I agree. That's what I'm saying. But why Facebook to me makes no sense, because that's the only driving factor to. Which to me is like, I can understand as you're building the company and he's like, oh, you know, the company made $1 million, it made 5 million. Oh, that's exciting. But it's like, after your year, what, like 8 or 5 at making billions, it's like, what do you even, what's your goal? Like when you see, oh, our quarterly was 20 billion. Yeah, it's better than last year. It's 25 now. Our it's just like, why does that even matter?
Dude, I think some people just, it's like, why are you still doing chemistry?
I've told you that I won't be eventually.
What if you just got? What if you
That's
got
so ominous. That's so ominous.
What if you got $20 million tomorrow?
That would be the worst thing ever.
Oh, it wouldn't change anything. Really? I would just keep doing what I do. But by not doing chemistry eventually, it's like I don't want to do chemistry forever because I'll just get bored.
Right.
Like if that's I why you start making meth, Nigel. Because then it adds that risk factor in.
You can never be bored.
You gotta
while you're
earn
on
your $20 million.
I actually, like, it's a video I've been wanting to make for a while now that you mention it. And the guy emailed me from a seemingly legitimate organization. And he was telling me, I should find the email now. He seemed like he knew what he was talking about. He told me to make meth.
Okay.
But he
I'm listening.
He said, P.S., if you're able to get clearance and written permission from the Attorney General, you could do an educational episode on the dangers and legal uses of crystal meth and its methods of synthesis.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's so why would like, you?
And he seems like he knows what he's talking about.
That's like
that is amazing.
I've always
Can
wanted
I collaborate
to collaborate
with you on that one?
Yeah, but I've always wanted to try to convince the police to make meth with me. I just haven't put...
And then try it with you.
Remember those Mac? Those we need to know if it worked. When you were a kid, like the multiplication worksheets where you had to do the multiplication. Mm-hmm. Like it was like 100 multiplication problems and you had like 5 minutes to do it. You could do an experiment to see if you can do those faster if you're high on meth.
That's a great idea.
You know, meth make you better at homework?
I had an idea, like a drug video idea. Is you take drugs and then you let mosquitoes suck your blood and you see if their reaction time gets better. When you try to swat them,
they could fly faster.
Yeah.
Wait.
And then you get really drunk and you see if they're really bad at flying away.
That's a very Kevin idea.
Okay.
I just want to say one thing about the meth thing is I do just want to say this because everyone asks me about making meth. The reason I don't do it is because I think that making drugs in general is not, like, it's not that interesting.
I think a lot of people disagree with you there, Nigel.
I'm saying interesting to me because if you go online, you can search it up and there's like 8 ways with instructions how to make it. So there's like guesswork.
The hard part
is figuring out how to do it.
Is trying to, I don't know about in Canada, but in the US, the DEA or whoever's in charge of it is super good at preventing you from getting the precursors to make any kind of drugs. Like it's
Australia.
I can't believe it's like the government is actually so good at this, like out of everything, like it's flawless.
Yeah, MDMA, the main ingredients called like synthol or something. It comes from just one batch of trees in China.
Saffron.
And you just, like either you grow the trees yourself or it's just like, how do you get that?
So that's the challenge. The challenge
from the ground up.
Bypassing
restrictions. The instructions are on the internet. And you can make, like, I mean, I don't know what the legality is in the U.S., but in Canada, you can just buy pseudoephedrine.
Yeah, you can here, too, but you have to show your driver's license, and you can only get so many boxes.
Yeah, but pseudoephedrine itself is kind of like, I mean, it's similar to meth.
Isn't that like the cough, like the sick medicine? Do you remember? Medicine?
Yeah, it's a sick medicine. My dad, my dad told me the other day. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I was like, pick me up sometimes. Sometimes I
we really? Bought it. We bought
it. I shouldn't
it
say
in
this.
Australia.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah,
you can just. I don't like it because
it used to
gets
be like
you,
a workout
it feels
supplement
like it gets
too.
You high. I don't like it.
I've never taken it unless I was like six. I don't ever remember feeling high.
Yeah,
did you not take
it
when we got sick in Australia, Will?
I didn't really get that sick.
Oh, because I took it and
it
I didn't
gave
know
me
it
heart
had pseudoephedrine.
The last
and then
time.
I looked in the mirror and my eyes were just like peeking. And I was like, holy shit, that's why I feel better.
Yeah, dude, we had to give our ID for it. I was like, we wanted the real stuff because the non-good one just doesn't make you feel anything. You just like, I mean, feeling better. You want to feel better because you're sick. And I bet you getting like a little bit of a buzz from it probably helps you feel less sick.
Well, it constricts all your blood vessels, so you get less congested. You can breathe a little better. You just feel like
really
less
fast.
Congested. But it also is like very, it's a stimulant. So like when I took it, it just gave me heart palpitations and I felt terrible.
It's like a stimulant, but it's only stimulating your body, not your mind.
Oh,
it does. No, it stimulates everything. So pseudoephedrine is like one step from meth.
Does it stimulate
it's
everything?
It's really close. I mean, just look it up. If you look up the structure.
He's just ignoring that question.
Hey, Alexa,
I didn't actually hear you.
I said it stimulates everything.
He's just got a boner right now.
He's not. That's why the camera's so high.
I don't think it gets you like super high like meth does.
It gets pretty high.
I don't know. I actually have never looked it up. I don't know any info about it.
There's some people in my life that I know have smoked meth. I should go ask them what it does.
But it's like pseudoephedrine is the same thing almost, except it has just like a little extra group on it, which I think maybe gets you less high. I don't know. I don't know the details.
I think it probably just depends on how much you take, because when you're taking it in prescription tablet, you're not actually taking that much.
I'm going to look it up. Pseudoephedrine versus meth. You know what? I'm doing it.
That's Zach's job.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out how to spell pseudoephedrine.
P-S?
It's got to be, like, so far away from actual meth in terms of... Because I never heard of anyone, you know, doing pseudoephedrine. Like, no...
Yeah, people do it. People do it. Like, people take it recreationally. Like, when you go to Thailand, Aussie kids will go and just buy cough syrup there because it's just...
Aussies.
Oh, is that pseudoephedrine or is that... That's lean, maybe.
That's codeine.
But, yeah, it's probably codeine.
Codeine, okay.
They mix it. That's like purple drink, right?
Yeah.
So there's...
You probably take too much...
I don't know.
Pseudoephedrine, you probably just feel like you're having a panic attack or something. Like, your adrenaline is just running for some reason.
So I found a website on addictionhope.com.
Okay.
And it says that Sudafed, the common... like. The brand name Sudafed. This drug can be found in any pharmacy and is an easy fix for anyone seeking the high it can produce.
You hear that,
kids? That's crazy.
Please, nobody listening. Please don't try it.
Like, I have Sudafed and I've never noticed that.
You're not taking enough, Will.
I guess.
Start crushing it up and snorting it.
I gotta poof it.
So it says here, the sensations... It says the sensations are described as short-term and can raise energy levels, cause a ticklish feeling on the skin and induce a sense of euphoria.
Wow.
And it says
that sounds pretty good.
Excessive amounts can increase heart rate and cause like irregular beating. Maybe I took too much when I took it.
Was this at a party, Niall? Where did you take this?
I was sick.
Sick of feeling lame.
I was sick and I just took it thinking it was good. And I felt terrible.
All right, let's talk about something more exciting than drugs. Let's talk about money. If somebody right now offered you $100 million, would you take it? No catches or anything.
No catches. Yes. Well, I mean, why would I not take it?
I would take it.
I don't think I would.
Why? Because you feel like you'd become so unproductive. You would.
I think it would turn me into a bigger piece of shit. Like, I think that it would make me like... feel no drive to do anything.
Right, like instead of building your x-ray machine, you might just like buy a CT scanner.
Yeah, right. Because like even now, it's like like the x-ray machine, it's like, oh, we bought a high voltage supply. Like I found it on eBay for $400. But like $400 is totally doable. And I can, you know, like use it for other stuff. But before I would have like tried to figure out how to make one maybe with like a microwave transformer and like been on like, I mean, you do a lot of that stuff. But like
that's why your projects... why your projects have to get bigger and bigger eventually until you build a spaceship and you go to space.
That's so lame. It's like, if I was going to, I'd rather build a rocket myself. Like, I'd rather make the fuel for a rocket and like go to the desert and launch. I'd like to launch in my backyard, but they won't let you. Or you can do it, but then you get in trouble. Then to like pay other people to build a rocket. Because then at that point, it's like, I just paid people to build a rocket to put the rocket. You know, it's just like,
Would you not feel the urge, though, if you got 100 mil to actually do something slightly... I would feel like I need to do something
if
good.
If I got $100 million, this is why I don't want $100 million, because my brain is like, oh, like, I need more... Like, you need money. Like, you're just trying to, like, collect money. That's what people do. Like, you just collect. And, like, what I want to do at some point is talk to, like, a financial planner and try to figure out exactly what I need to be able to, like, you know, have so much money every single year coming from an investment and, like, you know, retirement stuff, where it's like, okay, like, I want to be able to live off of, you know, like, what, like, let's say I want my income to be after retiring to be, like, $100,000 a year. Like, that would be amazing, right? Like, what do I have to do in order to achieve that? And I think that's, for a lot of people, like, that's, you know, depending on what kind of field you're in, that's totally doable. And depending on the type of investments you make. So it's like, my goal is, let's say the CPA or financial planner is like, you need to put this much money away every single month into these kinds of accounts, and then you will be able to retire with this desired income. And so if someone gave me $1 million or $100 million, I would know exactly how much money I didn't need.
I guess it comes down to what your goals are, because it's
yeah, but like, what's your goal with $100 million? Like, you could just get whatever you want.
You could make real change in the world, though. You could do something fucking ridiculous.
Dude, sometimes having to drive 6 hours to another city, you know, in another state or country, like, sometimes that's nice. Like, to have to do a road trip, you have to make a decision. But if you're loaded,
you can
still
do that
if
you have $100 million.
No, you're like, no, you'll like just charter a jet. Like, we'll just charter a jet and go to the airport and do it.
Why?
I mean,
because that's how it works.
What? You don't have to do that.
No, it doesn't. No, I still ride my bike every day, and I got a car. Yeah, I'm just
you don't have $100 million. No, that's different.
No, but I'm saying I've got a car. I'm talking like
minor inconveniences just get completely like just melted over. Nothing is a problem anymore, and that kind of.
I don't hire anyone to do anything. Like today, I was drilling holes in a wall and doing plumbing, and I was like, "Man, I shouldn't be doing this." Spent like 4 hours.
Yeah,
trying
but then
to
what?
Install.
Yeah, but then what do you need $100 million for?
I don't.
Right.
Well, so what I would do with $100 million, and as part of the reason, I mean, I have bigger goals than YouTube stuff, right?
Porn?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like I want to change education, and I want to do that, but you need money. Like, you need a bunch of money to be able to...
I feel like you need more influence than money.
You need both. And it's like, so if I got $100 million, I would just put that into that. And a lot of that isn't me doing things directly myself. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm.
It's like funding.
But do you know how much $100 million is?
It's a lot for some things and very little for others.
Like the problem with $100 million is like even trying to like logistically manage $100 million, like in some sort of like company or companies or nonprofits or something, like you literally couldn't do it. Like, you'd have to hire people, and you have to have huge teams, and, like, it'd be impossible to oversee.
Nah,
any of
man.
This stuff
I would
yourself.
Just put it in my daily checking account.
I feel like, basically, my thought is, like, if you have $100 million and you're not using it to, like, take private jets and, like, charters and flying around and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, then it's, like, you don't need $100 million. Like, $100 million is way too much money.
Well, I mean, for example, when I was a grad student, I made less than minimum wage, and I didn't know what to do with my money. You can always like, I don't know.
I think $100 million would make your life measurably worse for a variety of reasons. I think that it's going to change your relationships with your friends. It's going to make it difficult to establish new relationships. Your family is going to get really weird. Everyone's going to kind of expect things. It's going to make your motivation for doing things potentially change.
Does your family have to know you've received $100 million? Because I would,
if you're, dude,
you know,
if your family can't
your family.
Figure out that you've made an insane amount of money somehow, then you're not spending it.
No, but
I don't know.
Good.
But if
it's
you're not
like,
spending it, then why do you want $100 million?
Spend it on things that don't make you look wealthy, but actually do real things. So you could make big change. Or you could, like Niall said, actually change the way things work around
okay,
you.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you had $100 million, you wouldn't spend it on yourself. You would do like charity with it.
Maybe not charity, but make movies or would, fucking start dumb chats.
Yeah.
I'd start a defense contracting company. I think Palmer Luckey has the right idea.
Yeah, just develops weapons.
Buy an exosuit and go kill like Tony mercenaries Stark. Around the world.
This is the reason the military works so well is because you have like nerds who just like making machines, and it's like what's a thing that a machine can do, and it's like, well, you could kill people with a machine. People are infatuated. Like, you look at like Terminator is great, right? Like, it's like people's infatuation with machines that like kill people. I mean, guns are like that too. Like, people just have this like
no new and exciting
with,
ways
like,
to kill people.
Vigilante justice, and so then
Kevin's
you also
company.
Have you have a bunch of people who like to start wars, and then they give the defense contractors a bunch of money.
They're
and
like, bro.
I think the circle gets closed at some point too, where the people that start the wars also then make money from the defense contractor. I don't really know how that.
So you know that that's itself, how it goes. It's like
it's a circle of life of war.
Well, I'm confused as to why someone hasn't invested money into just like splicing animal genes with human genes. Surely some billionaire would be interested in that.
Humanity.
Dude, you can
I think
do
there's
it.
Laws against it.
There's laws
in
against
China,
it. That's
you can break laws.
Exactly. Well, here, you guys remember when the guy from China actually did break the law? Like the moral.
Oh, yeah.
Like with the CRISPR, he edited some baby's genes so it wouldn't get. HIV from the mom, and then everyone's like, why'd you do that, man? That's not cool. We have like, you know, morals and laws. Think it how far we would be if we didn't have morals and laws. We would be a lot farther.
You are
coming
you
from
the
defense
the
contractor
early military like people. Helicopter development videos, dude.
Like,
I'm telling you, we could go watch our helicopter organs,
our own organs in the freezer by now.
Go watch helicopter videos. Go watch the development of the helicopter, and you will realize how little they valued their own lives and the lives of the people around them when they were making a helicopter. There's a pilot. They like had a pilot come in to fly the helicopter, and I don't know what he did. It was bouncing around because they were developing it. It didn't work perfectly, and he gets bounced up, and he hits the rotor, and it doesn't even kill him. It just yeets him like 50 feet, and you think that his head got cut off because of like the way the footage plays, but he ended up being like fine. It didn't cut him up or anything, but it absolutely was insane that they allowed this kind of testing to be. I mean, it's not insane; it's amazing. And look at—we have helicopters now. Do we have any new flying craft since the helicopter, other than boring ass quad rotors?
Nope.
So we need human sacrifice, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I
need to go back to an Aztec society.
Yeah.
So what would you? So maybe that's what you could do with your 100 million.
I mean,
I would do that. Yeah. 100%. Fish really people. That's what I want.
Push human testing and hybrid creation.
I want to be crossed with a frog.
Alex
so I can
wants
change
to have
my
sex with
sex.
Fish people.
No, I want to change my sex whenever I want, like a frog
fish.
Or a barramundi. Yeah.
I want to become fish. You guys are very optimistic.
I just don't spend any money on myself anyway. So I feel guilty if any money I spend on myself.
So now imagine you get a bunch of money and you try to start charities, and now you have all these headaches of trying to manage.
I wouldn't do a charity. I honestly would not do a charity. I would do personal. So that's when you said you would do it on charities to help, like for other people. And I would argue, see, it's like it's for other people, but it's also for me because they're things I want to do.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would just start other things. I wouldn't be worried about it making a profit.
Okay, how much money do you think, like, ideally, man, I hate these topics because people are just going to get mad. How much money do you think you could make every single year to be living, like, the most ideal lifestyle? Like, so making $10,000 a year is not, that's not good.
I reckon 100K is it. I reckon 100K
think it's $100,000.
I think...
Can you buy a house
for
$100,000 a year?
Oh, actually not.
No, you can't. No. So I think there's this like around.
Can you buy a house with what?
I mean, people do.
How much?
People do that, but you have to take out a 30-year mortgage to do it.
Right, $100,000 a year can you buy a house? You can't buy a house in California for $100,000.
Oh, in California?
Yeah, in Montreal,
no.
You could easily do that.
You could buy a house for $100,000?
Not in LA.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, $100K
a year, easily.
That's probably like up in the 80 percentile range of money.
So
honestly,
for $100,000 a year, you're gonna pay.
Just don't be in California, and you're good.
Zach, what?
You're gonna.
What percentage of wealth would $100,000 a year put you in?
In the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it'd be that high. I think it'd be pretty high. Income.
Like 75.
California's just very high.
Yeah, California is, because I mean, like if you buy a normal house here, like a cheap house would be like $600,000 or $500,000. That's
it says 30.7%.
Like,
that's insane.
Yeah.
That's so cheap.
So it would put you in the top
30%. Australia's minimum 1.5.
In 1980, it was 15.2. So it's gone up quite a lot.
Okay. So here's like my advancement of the question is like $100,000 a year is probably like the bare minimum to live like a functional stereotype of an American.
Do anything you want anytime.
Right.
You can have nice cars.
I don't think so. Because what's $100,000 a month? You got to be careful, right? Because, like, calculator, $100,000 a month, you're taking
in Montreal,
like,
you
let's say
your
take
month?
Home is 70,000, right?
A month.
Sorry.
Yeah,
year,
no, he's
year,
saying,
year.
Okay. He's saying a year.
So 100,000 divided by 12, or. Yeah,
Will is
Alex,
a 100K
a month isn't very
much.
It's not very much.
Let's say your take home is $75,000 a year.
Don't know what Will's
divided by 12 months. That's $6,250 a month, right? So $100,000 a year after taxes is like just over $6,000 a month. And let's say your mortgage is, it could very easily be taxes and insurance for a cheap house, $3,000 a month.
That's crazy.
So $3,000 a month. This is for like a $600,000 house.
Again, California is just expensive. Here you can get so much better than that.
Okay, sure. But what do you mean? $500,000 for a house?
My house was $250,000.
if you don't go, so on the island of Montreal, prices have gone up a lot. But it's like, you can go off island and get one for like
No. We're not talking about living in the boonies. You need to talk about
where... they're not the boonies.
Living the suburbs.
It's
LA. Will, you are so skewed from being in LA, like from what everybody else is lives like. LA's
Sydney's more than LA. It's like 1.5 million.
Yeah, I've looked at
these are like the biggest
Peter
cities
lives.
In Canada, Australia, US.
Peter's in like Dayton, right?
But so I guess
Dayton,
that's where 50% of people live, right?
So Peter lives in the boonies.
Peter
I'm not
lives
talking
in the boonies,
about that.
But even in the city, like there's places where you can buy a house for like absolutely dilapidated for like $50,000, right? Like
that
insane.
Is amazing.
Like you never buy a house. Like the house is worth less than it costs to build a house. But even if you build a house, like if you were to build a house in Florida, like Kevin, that would cost you like as much, if not more, than what your house is currently worth.
Oh yeah, probably.
So like, what is a new house, like a new construction house in Florida cost?
It's like 300.
Really? How are they even making the house for 300? Making a house is expensive.
So in Montreal,
it all depends on the neighborhood here. Like, I mean, my house is probably within 2 miles of like houses that are $2 million. But it just, we have all these like developments, you know, it's like, and they just make them look nicer. They have a little bit more space in their yard. Everything's manicured. And then you have like, you know, the developments built by the city that like the houses are smaller and closer together. So it's not like you're in a more desirable like location.
Okay, so
it's just like the houses
are
nicer.
Wait, I want to,
I don't know how accurate this is, but it says Dayton, Ohio, the average cost of a house is $90,000.
Whoa.
You can't even build. You literally could not build a house for $90,000.
I want to say in Montreal, the house prices, the average house price in January 2020 was $370,000. That's the average. And it went up 30% in the last year, which is why I said it's gone up a lot. But you used to be able to get a house for like $300,000 to $400,000, and the house was fine.
Okay,
you
so let's say $400,000. Yeah, so $400,000. Is that US or Canadian?
Canadian.
Oh. What is that? Like a
it's so it's like 500.
300 Canadian? Sorry, American? 320 probably?
It's like three quarters. Okay, so so 100,000 a year is, and you let's say your take home is 75%, so that turns into like 62.5 a month.
I forgot what we were doing.
62.5. Okay. So then you minus, so what does a house cost a month? $2,000. Let's say your house costs $2,000 a month for taxes, insurance, mortgage, and any like bullshit repairs and stuff.
Yeah.
Gas?
That seems
That's
about what I pay.
Okay, so that's,
you don't
that's
need a house.
Flat.
You don't need to get a whole house. You can just get an apartment.
No, we're talking about the
for like $800.
God damn it!
Why do you need to buy a whole
house?
We're
talking about the American dream, Nigel.
Oh, sorry.
White picket fence, dogs.
White picket fence. What you've been told your entire life.
I wasn't because I'm not American.
Nice suburb.
And to give a mouse a cookie. The book To Give a Mouse a Cookie. It's a house. It's a full house that you get to yourself, and there's rodents, and you have to deal with the rodents. That's the American dream. Okay,
the thing that confuses me about the American dream is the fact how much cars cost in America and that everyone has to have a giant ute that costs like $100,000. I'm like,
dude, people are crazy.
Yeah. How the fuck can you afford this?
Cars and are like, if one people of the are, biggest wastes of money. If,
yeah.
Okay,
what
so...
And car, like cars. If, luxury vehicles.
If your take home is $6,000 a month, just over 6,000, and you're paying 2,000 a month for a house, and that's everything. That's utilities, that's insurance, that's mortgage. That leaves you with $4,200. A nice car, a really nice car, is going to have a monthly payment of like just under $1,000 a month. So let's say you want to buy like a $50,000 car, right?
I mean, that's like, $1,000 a month payment would be like a very nice car.
But that's like, that's
not
the
like
Suburban.
Lamborghini,
that's like these. Yeah, no. That's
I
like,
mean, my payment is like 500 Canadian, and that's about that was like the only thing I've ever treated myself to in the past like 4 years. So paying a thousand for me would be kind of insane.
Okay, so let's do for insurance
like seven,
and car and gas, let's do $1,000.
What car do you have, Niall? Are you allowed to say?
It's a Toyota.
Okay, is that fair? $1,000 a month for your car, for insurance, for payment, for gasoline and repairs?
Yeah, that's fine. Like, probably.
Sure,
if you're single.
Sure.
And if you have two people, then you'd probably get, like, you know, a minivan and a mid-range car.
Okay.
You know, family.
So that leaves you with, like $3,000. That's like, so let's say you have $3,500 left a month after your car and your house. So you still have, like, groceries and going out to eat, which is probably going to amount to, like, I don't know, what are groceries a month? Like $300 to $400?
Yeah.
You guys remember when Bill Gates...
100 bucks a week.
So then you're left with like 20, let's say 2,500, let's say 2,000, 2,500. And you just put that into like your saving account, right? And then like, what if you want to go on vacation? So I think when we say $100,000, which is like, you know, what we started with, $100,000 is, it is sort of the bottom of the amount of money you could make where you could kind of just do almost like you can live comfortably, but you can't quite do whatever you want.
It's strange though, because it's like, how does everyone do what they're doing? And so it just means everyone's in debt.
Everyone's in doing debt. These yeah.
Everyone's just borrowing money to go.
No, everyone's in debt.
Buy cars.
Yeah,
I'm not in debt.
It's the American dream.
Now we haven't even talked
just,
about
just throwing
kids.
That out there.
This doesn't even include having kids. Like how much kids cost and how much like daycare. Like daycare can cost like thousands of dollars a month. Like it's actually,
I don't do
daycare. Well, if you can, yeah, you keep your kids in your lap.
Don't have kids. Just don't have kids. Okay. Yeah, keep them in the lap.
So I think
put them in the cage in the back.
Dude, I think cross a family income for you to be like be able to do whatever you want. Like you can go on vacation kind of spontaneously, and you can kind of buy a super like a nice car, but not like a Lamborghini. I think you have to be in America. You have to be making like $250,000 a year,
probably.
To not be in debt, yeah.
To not be in debt and to be able to do kind of whatever you want.
Yeah,
but then
without having
making,
to like. Pinch pennies and stuff.
I guess the irony too is that when you make that much money, you're also kind of probably working a lot, which means you can't do whatever you want.
Mm. Right. And like, dude, I've talked to people who have like work in tech sector in like Bay Area, and they know people who are making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and they're still like living paycheck to paycheck because they have horrible, horrible, horrible habits, and they like they buy expensive stuff.
What
that stuff doesn't like retain its value. Dude, like, that's the thing is I don't know. Like,
how do you
everyone thinks it's crazy, but it literally this kind of scale exists everywhere where people's scope just keeps increasing.
It blows my mind because I don't drink, so like when I go to bars, I'll buy like a Pepsi or a Coke or something. That's like all I would get. So it's
if you have
$4.
Make sure who's sponsoring him this month.
I know, Coke, Pepsi. I don't know. I don't know if it's how I was raised, but it's like my family never bought appetizers at restaurants. We never bought desserts. We never paid for extras. It's like you went and you got just the meal and then you left.
Right.
So
yeah, it's the same.
That's like my dad too. Like going to
I didn't understand. Yeah, how people would spend all this money, but then I would go out with some friends, or friends would be telling me, oh, you know, the weekend was crazy. We went and did all this. I spent like, you know, $300-$400 that night. And I was like, on what? And you know, just buying shots, beers for people. And I was just like, how often do you do this? Oh, like once a week. And I was like, how do you?
Yeah.
At the time, I was probably making less than that after tax. And I was like,
Dude, I remember going to like Six Flags as a kid. And like my parents, like my dad would like, you know, make us like pack sandwiches. Like we couldn't go to like the food court or like they had a Panda Express. Or like they had all sorts of like, you know, kind of fast food inside of Six Flags. And like we would never get it. It would always be like, oh, we have to bring a sandwich. We have to do this. We have to do that. And like thinking back, I'm like, how much money did lunch possibly cost there? Like even if it was twice as much, it's like why couldn't we have splurged and gotten food at the theme park? Like if we couldn't afford that, why the hell are we going to a theme park at all?
Sometimes it's really bad. Like I've gone to some places where you see the price and you're like, that can't be right. Like it'll just say hamburger, 18, and you're like, well, that's the whole meal. And they're like,
it hurts.
They're like, no, it's. Then you see fries, 12. You're like, that's like a jump. No, it's just the regular.
But then I just wouldn't go. I would just go to like In-N-Out or, you know, Five Guys.
We just bring your own. It's like when I started going out, started drinking. Because like Niall said, if you go out, the beer is like $12. So if you buy 60,
in Australia, it's
like
very expensive.
$100. So me and my mates, we would just pack our own flasks and hide them, and then you just get drunk in the car park before.
Exactly.
And that's how you go out. And that costs like $10.
You chug a bunch of vodka and then you get in line.
It's just bad when you get to 25 and above because then it's unacceptable to get drunk in the car park. So you're like, oh.
Okay, here's a question.
Unacceptable to who?
At what
to the 18-year-olds that are also drinking in the car park.
At what point can you go to your normal restaurant and just order something off the menu that you like because you think it sounds good and you don't even look at the price? How much money do you have to make to do that?
Sorry?
Oh my God.
To go to a restaurant and just order whatever you want without really thinking about what it costs.
So I already do that, but here's the thing.
You got KFC.
I go to Taco Bell. And I actually, I went, I went the other day and I had a panic attack because I asked for beef burritos, and I thought for a second he gave me the beef supreme, which is like, you know, I don't know, a few dollars more. And I got two of them. So I was like, you know, a little bit scared about my bill. So I lied. I do worry about the price. But as long as you get it off the cheap menu, you're good.
I feel like we're learning a lot about Nigel, and it's looking good.
Yeah, it's great. Dream car is a Toyota.
I don't know. It's like, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I have a problem. Like, I like pizza, but if I go to a place, like a sit-down restaurant, I cannot order pizza.
What? I'm that way with alcohol. Like, if I go to a restaurant, I basically refuse to buy a beer. Like, because they'll just give
you a
can.
It's like a $5 or $6 beer. Yeah.
Chelsea and I went to the Cracker Barrel the other day, and I got a PBR, and they come out with a can of PBR. And I'm like, you charged me 4 or 5 times more than what you paid for this can.
Yeah.
I mean, you pour it in the glass for me.
I think the can is worse, because I do understand for the pizza, it's like, it is better quality than like just a cheap Domino's pizza, but I always just sit there and I see it would say like $18 for a pizza, and I was like, I could get like an extra large Domino's.
Okay, so
I just can't buy it.
I love going out for those small little personal pizzas though
at Pizza Hut.
But like, okay, here's the thing. If let's say you're Jeff Bezos and you have $200 billion, literally you can't even be fathom to think about the difference between like a pizza that you could get for cheaper versus like a pizza that's kind of overpriced.
With me, it's all principle.
Probably.
It doesn't have to do with price. It's just principle.
Do you think Jeff Bezos could throw down at Taco Bell? Do you think he would go to Taco Bell and get something, or do you think he's beyond Taco Bell?
I think no matter how much, I mean, I have no idea what his eating habits are. I know that for me, no matter how much money I ever make, if I was given $100 million, I'd still eat a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But then why do you need $100 million?
Because I like Taco Bell. You can't get Taco Bell. Because
then
more
you
than
don't have to ever worry like, about anything.
Yeah, but you don't need $100 million to not ever worry about anything. What I'm trying to get at is like, if you, okay, here's the thing. Let's say $250,000 a year, you can do like basically whatever you want if you're not like being egregious about it, right? That's a lot of money. You can pay your mortgage, you can
money.
Have a nice car, you're going to have a bunch of leftover money. That's a lot. If
dude,
you have
I
a
could,
lot of money.
If you give me 20 minutes, I could bill you $250,000.
I know you could figure out. I'm pretty sure everybody, all of us and everybody listening to this podcast could figure out how to spend $250,000 a year. It's very easy.
It doesn't mean it's not
I could
a
spend
lot of
a
money.
Quarter million in a month just by getting surplus stuff on eBay.
You'll always be able to find somebody who will gladly separate you from your money. Like they'll charge you, they'll deliver you Taco Bell for 10 times the price, and all they're doing is adding a delivery.
But see, that's the thing. I still don't
eat out a lot. I don't order a lot because they charge you double, and I'm like,
I refuse to pay the Uber Eats delivery, so I will.
Like
go
I could
and
afford
it,
but I just don't. It's a principle. Of the thing.
Nobody delivered to Nigel. Well, he definitely doesn't tip.
Yeah, I agree.
I tip. I feel guilty, so I tip if I do order. I'm like, you know what? I'm already wasting so much money on having it delivered. I'll tip.
That's the thing I hated the most about America was tipping. Then I was like, what? I've just paid you. Why am I giving you more money? Yeah. And then they look at you like you're a dickhead when you don't know.
Everybody hates it.
At least with Uber, it's because the workers are just kind of getting exploited, so you have to
there
tip
is
them.
Uber Pass.
Sorry?
How does that work?
You can get Uber Pass.
That's probably
but I think
worse,
that I think that exploits them even more.
Yeah.
Is that like
we had a thing? We had a thing happening in Australia with Uber where I think in 1 week we had 5 drivers killed because they all ride these little mini bikes with like a 500-watt, 5,000-watt electric motor in them, and they get underpaid, so they try to do like 10 deliveries an hour, and they speed and they just get squished by trucks. And I think it was 5 in a week, and then Uber had to change the way they pay, or it was a different one. Menulog had to change the way they pay their workers
because they're not allowed to have like more powerful.
They had like slow the deliveries down and like pay them more for less deliveries, basically.
I think they paid them per hour.
Love the idea of like they know the driver's done like 60 miles, but he's done it in a time frame where like he could not have done it without speeding. they have all the stats. They're like, wow, he's going real fast, but we're just going to not pay attention to this.
I was going to make a video where instead of Uber and like in a car, you do it like Uber runs. So I just put a backpack on and see if I can deliver food by running around the city.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're driving your car, but you just took a laxative.
Which is shit everywhere.
Uber runs. Delivery. Your delivery driver has to shit himself the entire time.
So I would pay extra for that. 100%.
Here's something to think about, though. Is it actually these companies that are evil, or are companies evil and the government doesn't do enough to protect you from the evil companies? Because it could be something.
Oh, for a second, I thought there was an incoming, like, you know, pro-capitalism.
Yeah.
I thought the workers
are just.
I personally, it is like, don't hate the player, hate the game. Right?
Yeah.
So they're, oh, wait.
That's how you have to.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Like, if somebody, say don't hate the game, hate the player.
Yeah.
That's the capitalism.
If you, this is like the big problem with like everything in general is that if you aren't doing something that is like kind of unethical but legal, you're just an idiot. Like, why would you voluntarily pay more taxes? So you basically have to have some sort of regulation that levels the playing field so that it no longer becomes advantageous to be unethical. I mean, look at back in the day. They used to just, like, straight up, like, from a cartoon, dump chemicals into a river, and then all the fish would die, and the river would turn green or brown.
You mean
or black.
In the good old days?
The good old days, you know, back
when.
And
I think it's foolish to think that stopped.
Yeah, like what happens is like capitalism will capitalize on the environment. They'll capitalize on people's lives. They'll capitalize on everything. And so you have to stop capitalism from capitalizing. You have to be like, you're only allowed to capitalize in this box right here. Like, we're going to draw the lines around this box and you can go at it, but you're not allowed to capitalize in other parts. Like, dude, slavery is like the ultimate capitalism. Like, you could capitalize on like human labor, right? You could figure out
so that's what they mean by a free market.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if it was like true free market, completely open ended,
you're
like early America, like all like but, it's.
Yeah, nobody wants a truly free market, and there's a reason why, obviously, like antitrust laws and everything exist. Because once you're a billionaire, you just crush everybody, and no one has a chance. So it's like you can't truly. You have to have a free market, within the bounds of some sort of fair rules.
But that means it's
which is what
market.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
What? Sorry.
That's why it's strange, because people like libertarians will argue they want a free market, but a free market has never actually existed, because there's always
government
control supporting a free market.
Yeah. I think it did kind of exist, and then everyone realized how bad it was.
People, they want a free market in a regulated market. Like, they want the current regulated market, but then to like strip the rules out to be a free market, and then like it'll basically just deteriorate, but it'll still be standing for a while. Like, they'll like liquidate thing that the free market or that the regulated market has accomplished.
I think it's always when you're in that market where there's all those rules, it's great to fantasize about how much more money you'd make when this one rule is gone.
Right.
Which is why they all obviously want to keep going towards that free market. But it's like you go too far and everything just will fall apart. But I mean, maybe I guess they'll still keep making money.
A lot of people
no one thinks of it like that. Like, people will literally destroy the entire environment around them. Like, a fossil fuel, like a car company, right? Like,
definitely.
A car company is like, it's like a sociopath if you look at it from a hole, like, or a psychopath. Like, but every single person that walks in and out of that building, it's like, it's a breathing entity that doesn't really have like a cohesive, like it has ideas and it makes
decisions.
It's like
decisions,
an ant
colony.
It's like an ant colony. And the funny thing is the ant colony does what's best for profits, but each individual ant is making their actual life and their children's life worse by making the ant colony run efficiently. Does that make sense? So it's like each individual component
totally
is making
100%,
life worse.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is like accomplishing a goal. It's like they're shooting themselves in the foot without even realizing it.
I mean, corporations, it's been, just look back in history. They will literally kill people if it makes them a profit. They will destroy the environment if it makes them a profit.
Yeah.
They have no regard. It's not like these people even have a conscious idea of what they're doing. It's just like an octopus spreading its tentacles to wherever it can grab a hold of.
They're just trying to pay their rent.
Yeah.
They're literally trying to pay their rent every month. That's what's happening.
But then there are the people at the top who know exactly what's happening.
Oh, the people at the top,
But there's,
there's cases where they'll kill like 200 people in a fucking gas accident overseas, and they're just like, oh, why did we do that? Just because I wanted to make more money so I can buy a car. It's like, it makes absolutely no sense.
Chiquita Bananas. Well, I swear to God, there's something with like a fruit company where something like this happened.
Well, I mean, it happens. I mean, pretty.
In a sweatshop factory,
French,
it happened.
French Guarana with the banana plantations back in the day.
What about the aluminium one recently in Brazil? It was like they wiped out a whole village because they didn't maintain their dam or something.
I was about to mention that. In Brazil, it's just classic that they have dams collapse and just kill a bunch of people, and they're just like,
Yeah, and then the workers still come in because they need money, so they're just like, we can't not work. It's just...
Yeah, it's just... I forget who... Yeah. I was actually going to mention that because it's just a cycle of horribleness.
Here's a Wikipedia article titled "The Banana Massacre," where
workers
went on strike, and like November 12th in the early like late 1920s, and after several weeks, nothing happened, and the government sent the army in and killed. It says a massacre of 47 to 2,000 people. That's a pretty loose number.
yeah. We're not sure if it was 47 or 2,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why when it comes to billionaires going into space, when there's stuff like this happening, like people around the world that, you know, have to go into work to a banana factory where
they pick bananas every day and get killed for it.
It's like, obviously, people should be angry about Jeff Bezos spending. Not because he's obviously not going to spend it on something else, but it's just so fucking...
I think the problem, like, everyone gets mad at Jeff Bezos, and, like, this is probably I don't know. I think it's, like, I mean, this is my take, but I think Jeff Bezos is just doing what Jeff Bezos should do. He's the player, and the game is broken. And so the fact that billionaire people have amassed enough wealth to be able to create companies to blast themselves into space sort of indicates that there is a problem. Like, how were they able to get to that point to have that much money to where they could spend it on something that didn't exist because everything else was boring to them?
And also how sociopathic they are, that if they what they want to do with their money is essentially kill themselves. It's like, what?
Right.
Why are you giving this man this money?
Right. I think, like, at the end of the day, you kind of have to have a government to decide what is collectively best for people. I mean, that's literally the government's job. It's like, it's to make people's lives better by forcing them
protect
to work together.
Protect the poor people.
It's everyone who says like they don't like government, like, send them back 300 years and enjoy less government, and they'll probably die by the time they're 35 if they're lucky. Like, that's old age. So if there is someone who is able to become wealthy enough to create a space program, it probably means that the system that they're existing in that allowed them to get that wealthy is probably broken.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good that he can do that. Like, that's...
Right.
But...
You shouldn't get mad at Jeff Bezos, because Jeff Bezos did what Jeff Bezos... He did a good job doing what he did. And the fact that he's not in jail means he did it legally. Did he actually do it legally? I don't know. Was he able to buy his way into doing something? Like, he bought himself out of going to prison because he did some illegal thing that we don't know of? Okay, well, the system's broken.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think you have to do something illegal to exploit the system. The system is made to exploit people.
Exactly, so exactly. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, people have figured out how to exploit the system, which means the system is broken. Like, how, like, lobbying, I think, is one of the great ones of, like, people spend money to convince politicians. And it's, like, hilariously cheap, too. It's, like, you're able to manipulate politicians into voting for something that makes everyone else's lives worse, but the politician got, you know, a couple $100. I mean, it's like, I've heard, like, laughable numbers of, like, you know, like, less than $10,000 they were able to buy a vote, essentially. Yeah.
Why don't we put our money together and lobby?
Yeah, but this is what you do with $100 million.
But here's the thing, is everybody does it. Remember the whole, like, the COPA thing with the kids, like, advertising to kids on YouTube? Like, it would be in our worst interest to not have somebody that was there to talk to politicians and explain to them, like, the actual potential solution. Because at the end of the day, like, if we just sort of let them do whatever they want, we don't have a say in it. And then there's the rules about advertising to kids. And then all of a sudden, nobody on YouTube makes any money off advertising. So it's like, you probably do want a lawyer who's you're paying to talk to politicians to explain, oh, well, maybe it's not a great idea to do this. Is that bad lobbying? I don't know. Is it lobbying? Yeah.
I don't know enough about lobbying to comment.
You just pay someone to convince somebody else to vote a certain way. That's what lobbying is.
I think,
or you give
them
like benefits. You're like, oh, you want to come to our event in the Bahamas? We'll give you a free hotel.
I thought you were going to say, do you want to come? As in, do you want to give them a prostitute? So I was like, I'm sure that would convince someone.
They definitely
of something.
Do that. Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of the controversy in Canada because the.
Who is your epic crackhead mayor?
Oh, I mean, that's not
is
my
Ted Cruz
name,
Canadian,
so I don't know much about him. I think he is supposed to be Canadian.
Because he was liking porn on Twitter. That was hilarious.
That was
there
so
was
epic.
A it was the controversy a couple of years ago. One of the big corporations here in Quebec, I forget the details. They paid for prostitutes for someone affiliated with like the Libyan government to lobby them to do something. So there was a whole controversy about that.
That's so amazing. Canada or Libya? Because if it was in Libya,
I think it happened there.
When in Libya.
Maybe that's just how you do. Yeah, that's just how you do things. You know?
Right. I'll look it up. And, I don't remember all the details. It was a little while ago.
So,
yeah.
You boys want to go to Libya?
I could be wrong on that, too.
Let's go to Libya.
I could be spreading misinformation. I'm going to read it and make sure that I'm not spreading lies.
I think what pisses me off the most is that they don't, like, there's so little money spent on education. And, like, education is so bad. It's so bad. It makes me angry. Yeah. Like, it makes me really, really mad thinking about, like, when I was in high school. Like, you had a kid, me, who was, like, striving to achieve things and wanted to build robots and this and that. And there was not a single resource. It's almost like the hardest thing to do is to motivate a kid. Like, to get a kid excited about something is, like, almost painfully difficult. And so to have someone who's excited about something and then almost like snuff it out, like not give them any opportunities, is so embarrassing. Fucked. It's like actually embarrassing.
They're like, sorry, you don't teach robotics until your senior year, and you still have to take Algebra 4 first,
right?
Or something. You know,
Sorry to cut in. I just want to say, allegedly, just on thestar.com. They're saying it was nude dancers, porn films, and many, many sex workers. Invoices show that this company and security firm, another one, were involved in some unorthodox spending to spoil the son of Gaddafi during his visit to Canada in 2008. I didn't know happened here. I was like, it happened in Libya. I mean, yeah, it's off our soil. No one knows what goes on. But apparently they did it here.
Wait, it was like a company, Montreal? A private company that was trying to...
Yeah, private companies were trying to... I don't know what they were trying... They were trying to win favor of Gaddafi's son, so they spoiled him with all the things Canada has.
How many prostitutes? I don't understand. Because after one prostitute, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? What do you want with 100 prostitutes? You don't. Who has that much energy? What is this man doing?
I don't have the details.
It was $30,000.
Oh, that's all that.
That is actually. I thought it would be way more. That's what I'm saying, man.
Bulk pricing.
It says they spent two. I see this one says 1.95 million on escorts and booze. That's a lot of money. You're asking what to do with $100 million? That's only a 50th of it.
Dude. $250,000 a year wouldn't even buy you a day with Gaddafi's son.
Apparently, it says they accused him of spending $48 million over 10 years, I think.
Okay.
It's a good amount of, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay, so here's the thing. It's like companies,
Alex knows from experience.
I bet you.
No.
I bet you.
I'm telling you,
it'd be
easy to go through $100 million. Well, you need more.
I think
that's
soft drink
companies.
That's
like 100 prostitutes.
I think Gaddafi's son has it figured out. Like, you could definitely do a lot with $100
million. Okay. If
Kevin, stop fantasizing.
I think Red Bull spends more money marketing than they spend anywhere else. Is my guess. Like Red Bull and Monster.
A lot of companies are like that, though.
A lot of companies, like, I was looking at some Facebook, like, some drop shipping videos on YouTube of, like, this one guy, like, started a sock company, and I watched YouTube had been recommending me the video for the longest time, and I finally just watched it. And he just, like, he set up a website, connected it to a drop shipper, did a bunch of marketing. They were, on average, spending about as much money on Facebook ads as they were making in sock sales. So they were essentially, like, net zero.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, that is absolutely insane that when you're advertising products, you're basically spending as much money as you're making. And the only thing you're gaining is, like, building your brand. And hopefully at one point you'll be able to sell products without as much advertising.
It means your product is pointless if you have to do that. It means your product's so bad that no one actually... it doesn't offer utility, so you have to spend a ridiculous... It's like Red Bull. Red Bull is in the sporting market, and it's a contradiction to sporting because it's unhealthy, it's shit, and no athletes actually drink it.
Gatorade was like that for the longest time. I think Gatorade might be one of the worst offenders I can think of like sport drink, and it's athletes and this, and it's just like people drink it like a sugary drink, and they're not even working out. Even if you're working
power
out,
thirst.
Like, it's still way too much sugar.
Dude, it's got potassium in it. You need that to work out.
But like, now imagine that, the concept, like that thought experiment of spending more money on advertising than you spend on your product, except with politics. Like, they spend more money potentially, like, manipulating politics than actually making their product, because 100%. It's more profitable to change the rules than to make a better product. Look at the Uber thing, right?
Yeah.
Prop 22 in California.
How much do you think they spent there?
The workers. Dude, they spent like $200 million or something like that. Zach?
Wow.
Google boy.
But even, for example, like, how much do you think the 2020 U.S. election cost?
A lot. Probably enough money to put someone in space.
And to me, that's like the most... No, it says
14 billion?
Billion.
Yeah, it says it.
Whoa.
It was estimated to be at 14 billion. So, like, to me, it's like, that's the biggest waste, because all that is people just like, there's nothing to show. I mean, obviously, you get whatever candidate wins is the result, but it's like almost everything else. I don't know. It's just like, it feels like so much spending and so many man hours that kind of just go into
advertising.
Yeah.
That's good for us, though.
It is
we got some percentage of that $14 billion.
No, there were so many people complaining about Trump ads.
I should donate that portion.
I'm like, I don't know how they're controlling people complaining about Trump ads on my videos when that was going on. I don't even know. You can try to block that stuff, but it just doesn't even matter.
Like, yeah, people, I mean, you have no control over the ads.
You have no control over it, basically. Anyways,
that's
I don't know. That's the rules. That's kind of what I feel like I'm getting at with the whole billionaires in space, is that
don't go after the billionaires.
A lot of money. Go after it's not the billionaires, dude. It's like
it's the whole
don't protect them. I mean, don't do the opposite of protecting them.
they should pay more taxes. Like, it's not their fault.
Yeah, they should. But they should. Yeah, honestly, I think there should be some sort of like wealth cap tax where anything over like $50 million, if that's even a high enough or low enough number, every year your total collective wealth gets taxed, and so. You
like payment, like, you know, like you got to pay your employees like this much if the company makes this much.
Well, how are there not rules about like the company's sort of like total growth, like the company's like, you know, I don't want to say profit because that's a whole nother loophole, versus like your lowest employee salary, like CEO salary versus employee salary. Like, how could your CEO be paid 10,000 times more than your janitor? Like, that's kind of bullshit. We have a contract janitor now.
I have a question though.
Oh my God.
Why pay them a certain amount, right? That's fair. When you could pay them less and then have them use government subsidies to pay the rest. Because then you
that's true. That's a really good idea. Honestly, I think that's a brilliant business strategy.
is Amazon not doing it exactly that? I think I heard
that's
that.
Walmart.
A bunch of places do it.
Yeah, so Walmart is subsidized by the U.S. government through welfare without people even realizing it, because people are able to work for less money for Walmart because they know they'll be able to get food stamps.
That's so strange.
Yeah, so essentially what's happening is like the money is getting piped from like social care programs into Walmart, because if Walmart paid them an appropriate amount of money, they wouldn't need the social programs. And so Walmart is able to not pay them.
That's a business.
And the countries bid, because I know in Australia as well, like the states will bid on who gets to get the Amazon warehouse, because they're like, we get to bring 5,000 jobs. So you subsidize that as well.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is just like printing money for Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, someone has this huge business that should pay tax, but everyone's like, oh, we'll let you pay less tax because it's still better for us. And then the real winner is just Amazon or the companies come in. Yeah.
Like they say they do all the math and figure it out, but I don't believe it.
I think the big question from this podcast is, how do we
become
that?
No, I thought you were going to say, how do we stop it? And I was going to say, we kill them.
No, I said, we give up. We're not going to change the system. How do we, as you say, play the game and go to space?
I think that you kind of need to be, well, if anyone's going to space, I'm just joking. We're probably in one of the best positions to actually be able to go to space.
Yeah, as like you just get invited to be like,
exactly.
To vlog your way to space.
First vlog in space. Hey gamers, it's me.
I'm getting my vaccine in space.
It's me, Nigel, now Red. We're going to do gold fulminate in a spacecraft.
So wait.
Sponsored Amazon Delivery.
If Amazon or Jeff Bezos asked you to join the flight, would you?
Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay.
You would do it?
There's no big, I don't know.
I said this before, like people would get mad at me, but like if I had an opportunity to
I can't hear you well, you've gone.
Can you hear me?
Robotic.
How about now?
You're back.
If I was given an opportunity to film with Donald Trump in the height of his like controversy with everybody, I would 100% do it.
Oh, it's 100%.
Yeah.
I would never turn down an opportunity to do something interesting. People might not like the specific person, but like it doesn't matter. Like I'm not gonna. Why would I turn down an opportunity?
Yeah.
See, I said no, not because I don't want to be near Jeff Bezos. That'd be hilarious to interact with him, but because I don't want to die in his spaceship. Yeah. That's what I would say.
You just don't
imagine
trust
dying,
it.
And then it's your last person you see is sweaty Jeff Bezos looking you in the eyes. We're like, fuck this guy.
That he's like, we're not going to be alive much longer, and you're pretty handsome.
Start stroking your legs. And we're like, oh, no. Jeff.
Yeah, it's true. When you're in that spaceship, every time it creaks or like, you know, shakes weirdly, you just start.
Jeff would look over you and be like, hello.
Start panicking.
I don't know. I think it's just everything is like so much more complicated than everybody thinks it is. And the thing that pisses me off the most though is you have essentially a bunch of poor people fighting slightly less poor people.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, that's what happens online. Do people just get, someone who makes $15,000 a year sees someone that makes $100,000 a year and gets mad at them. And it's like, you have no idea how little that is compared to some, like, wealthy people. Like, I did the math of how much money you'd have to carry away in a duffel bag every single day to, I think, be worth $20 billion at the end, or $200 billion at the end of your life. Someone every single day. Like, imagine this. You wake up in the morning and you're like, all right, time to start my day. You gotta drive, you know, 2 miles down the street to the bank where they give you a duffel bag. And in that duffel bag is some amount of money. And you walk it home, and the next day you do the same thing. You wake up, you go to the bank, you get another duffel bag for the rest of your life. So let's say you're gonna
live. To make how much money?
How much money has to be in the duffel bag every single day for the rest of your life to, at the end of your life, have accumulated $20
billion? 20 billion.
I mean, probably it would, accumulated 20 billion?
Two,
I mean,
sorry, 200 billion. Because that was sort of like.
Oh, 200 billion.
200 then billion.
$10 million a day.
Anyone, any other guesses?
Yeah, I'm going to say around that. 20 million.
30 million. I have no
20
idea.
20 billion.
It's like, I think it's like 50 million.
Yeah, 20 billion.
A day. It's like 50 million. So if you take $2 billion. And you divide it by 365.
Come on, man.
And then you Quick divide maths. That by what, like 60, let's say 70 years?
So how many years do you plan to live? Years. That's the first question.
Actually, once we figure out cloning forever, I just plug a new heart in.
Well, then you don't even need, like, you could probably get like, you know, $50 a day and eventually make it.
Bezos can scan my brain.
I may have done that wrong. I think it might be $10 million a day. So Nigel was right.
Yeah, it may or may not be because I calculated it.
Did you actually?
That fast?
Well, if you just go 1 million a day is 365 million a year.
Right.
Right? And then in 3 years, you'll have a billion.
Yeah.
And then times it by 20. So 60 years. So assuming you get to 80-something, you'll need a mil a day.
Okay, so how old, I guess maybe, how old do you think you're going to live to? Like 80? And then we're like 30
it
now.
It depends on
like
how technology progresses and how like climate 50 change goes.
Yeah. Divided by.
Well, that's why the billionaires are actually going years. To space, so they can just escape the planet they're destroying.
Exactly.
So let's say
that's something the real plan.
You have 50 more years to live, and you're taking a duffel bag of money every single day until the day you die. And at the day you die, 50 years from now, you have to have $200 billion. It's like $10 to $11 million a year, or a day. So every single day, you're given $11 million. Yeah,
I'm not on a good path right now.
Okay,
I'm not gonna make it.
here's you literally could not spend $11 million a day. I believe you could get Kevin to spend $250,000 in a couple of days. You could not spend
$11 million.
It depends how you define spending, because it's like
how do you spend it? I don't think you could possibly how do you even transfer $11 million in cash.
Yeah, like maybe a couple days you could spend $11 million, but consistently, no.
But how do you actually spend fucked. It without just giving it away?
Right? How
you
many
just have
expensive
to make
cars
ridiculous
can you buy?
Purchases.
You could
all
literally
over the world.
Walk
cars
into
are way too small.
A luxury dealership and buy a car.
You could
buy
the dealership.
Every single car, and you could still have money left. So what do you do the next day? Go to the same dealership?
Well, your cars are too small. You got to be buying like countries,
planes.
Yeah.
You can't even like
massive
you can't
yachts
even buy a
that
house.
Are worth $5 billion.
You could buy like one of the most expensive houses in SoCal every single day.
You don't. I mean, so that's why you got bigger projects. You don't just buy a house. You buy arrays of houses. You evict people. You bulldoze the land, and you
build apartments.
I don't know what you do.
Let's become a slumlord.
No, but the problem, Kevin, is that makes you more money.
Right.
Good. We're playing
cookie
clicker,
lose.
Right?
Do you, dude, what I'm I'm pretty sure that
kind of.
I'll say the only thing that keeps capitalism in check is mortality. Like the fact that people die is the only thing that keeps capitalism from like
not
careering
even,
out of control.
Not even.
Yeah, well, I think people build their dynasties.
Look at the third world.
But like,
the
imagine how worse, how much worse it would be though if some, if one individual maintained
that
wealth for hundreds of years.
I guess the closest equivalent are families that do that.
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
old
it, the closest
dynasties,
is families, but it's
like
it's not
the
nearly
day.
The problem is it dilutes, right? So it dilutes every single generation. And so it becomes difficult to maintain as much wealth.
Yes.
And also the kids might not have the same drives as like the
oh, they don't.
Did.
Well, when going back to like what you said, when if you're given 100 million, they're born with 100 million.
But nowadays with these
so
corporations, it doesn't matter if the kids have the same drives because the company is doing it. It's thing, and the kids are like majority stakeholders, so they just get paid. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah, as I'm saying, why even go to school at all or do anything? That I think is just mentally bad. Like in that case, I would never want to be born into that.
Mm-mm.
But it's like being an adult now, given 100 million, I feel like my brain has developed enough to be okay with it. But 15 or 16, that would be horrible.
No.
I still think that your life would be kind of like it would just be bad, dude. Too many problems would just go away and your life would become uninteresting. I genuinely think that it would suck.
More money,
you
more
think
problems.
You think it's
going to
just have
so.
More?
I think it just depends on how you manage it. If you start buying yourself stuff, then you could get fucked. But
okay, think of
just
it like
buy,
this.
Just buy a $100 million car. And
What is like the happiness level, like level of happiness increase from like, you know, different amounts of wealth, right? So like if you're making $8 an hour, and you get upgraded to $16 an hour, like that's amazing, right?
That's massive. Yeah.
Massive. If you're making $16 an hour and you get upgraded to $32 an hour, that's amazing. If you're making $32 an hour and you get upgraded to $64, like that's also amazing. At what point does it start to sort of like not actually make your life better?
Well, I think it sounds privileged, but I think the amount I make now is peak to me. I'm just like, I can't actually imagine. If I made 10 times this amount, it's not going to improve my life at all.
Yeah.
I'm very happy, and I think you should not want more than this, you know? It's just...
Do you think that at some point it would make your life worse? If you just...
I don't think
you just
it
pretend
would make,
like it's not there.
Because probably for at least, like, over a year now, like, I don't... It's funny when I see people saying, like, that... Because I do shorts now, and they're like, he's selling out for the shorts cash. I'm like, I'm going to make money off that. YouTube pays nothing. But... It's like I don't do any YouTube stuff for money. Like after like a year or so ago, it's like it's sustainable. So I just don't really. As long as I can afford to do my projects, I don't really care.
Yeah, same.
I mean, well, you probably should care.
I actually looked it up, and it says there was a study in 2010 that says around 75K a year, they noticed a plateau in happiness.
Yeah,
that's the plateau. But
right. And so,
with inflation, it's probably like 100-ish now.
Yeah. I seriously think that's what I'm getting at. Like if you're making that $64K a year and you get doubled, or $64 an hour and you get doubled to $28
an hour. Oh, yeah, it's meaningless at a certain point.
Right.
Because then it just sits in your bank account.
Yeah, I think two more doublings and it starts becoming, you get numb to it. So from 128 to 256, that's pretty epic. From 256 to half a million, I think you're going to get some serious diminishing returns on your...
Yeah, I think so.
Because you're going to be sitting there with like, oh, cool, I can just... I don't really have to think about... I don't have to worry about anything. I just like, I can pay all my bills. Like, dude, we got AC installed and like, you know, we have two people employed in this house. Like, we just let the AC run. Like, I don't give a crap. Our power bill is a lot. Like, I don't care.
It's funny how just to... I don't know. It's like I've been pretty sustainable in what I do for YouTube for a while now. So it's like I don't really feel the need to – I don't really need to work. I just kind of do what I do. But you mentioning the AC was funny because we moved into our new office and we have central AC. And for like the first 4 months, I would turn it off like all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't run heating the moment I could stop running heating.
You're just cheap. You're a cheap ass.
It's just principle. And I remember being like, I'm like, how is this affordable? People can't pay this much. And then I realized the heating and AC together was $6 a day.
Yeah.
And I was still like, I could do better.
Your overhead
but
for running a lab is way higher than that.
Oh, I started to realize that. I'm like, wait, $6 a day. That's like $200 a month. I could just like... There's way either easier ways to save that money than to like be monitor the AC system
but you,
all
this is
the
why
time.
I'm laughing at you guys for saying that you would take $100 million because you literally can afford all these things already and you still don't even do it. What the hell are you going to do with $100 million?
That's what I said. I would just do bigger things. My life wouldn't change. I would still be like...
But then you don't need $100 million.
I would run the AC 24-7, Will.
Yeah, I still would. I would vent the AC outdoors.
What's your guys' electricity bills?
I run my AC hot. So it's like my room temperature, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, is like 20. I keep it at 24 because, you know, 20 is too expensive.
What is that?
I don't even know what it costs, to be honest. I just think that it's excessive to keep it too cold all the time.
My bill's like $300 a month, and I keep the house at 73, 74.
So my office is like $250 a month, I think. $180 to $250.
That's kind of a lot just for an office without the rest of everything else in a house.
Oh, I meant everything. I meant everything. It's 18-foot ceilings.
Do you have like refrigerators and?
Oh yeah, I have like with everything else like running and the lights and.
Is your refrigerator running?
Nigel with his sort of income that he has now, he could probably
I have a problem.
He could live even he could get 90% of the way to living like he has $10 million and he still can't even do it. You're like letting the AC run all day, ordering what he wants off the menu that looking
you
at
know
the
what
fry.
Would happen? You know what would happen?
I have
you know what happened
a
in
mental
Beirut?
Block.
You know what happened in Beirut? When the ammonium nitrate warehouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was probably because Nigel was given $100 million in Beirut.
And he was like, oh, I have an idea.
Hoard all the chemicals.
He had an idea, but then he forgot that he bought it because it was so little money.
I just have like.
And then he wouldn't turn on the air conditioning because it was too expensive and it all blew up.
Exactly. No. Yeah.
It makes my money spending habits make like just they just make no sense. Like, for example, I will be like $6 a day for electricity. Like, no way I'm going to put, I don't want to spend $8 a day. Like, that's crazy. I don't even know what the total is half the time, but it's like then for a project, I'll be like, I'll spend more just trying to like figure something out on a project and not think about it. But it's like I'll go out of my way to save like $3. And I don't really understand.
It's because you're broken.
It's because it's tax deductible. I get that. So
that's how I rationalize it to myself too.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is my job.
50% off.
And that was the one thing that gets me too. Is like I stopped buying things for myself because I was like, I just don't want to have to pay the extra tax money. So I stopped paying my brother gets mad at me because my brother and friend work with me, and my brother made last year I think 5 times my salary.
Dude,
no,
I still don't understand how Canadian taxes work. Because like you definitely want to take as much money as you can out every single year.
No, it's really bad.
Otherwise, you just
keep
shoving yourself into higher and higher tax brackets if this money sits in your business.
If I try to get a house mortgage. I think last year I was below the poverty line.
You're also potentially going to get in trouble with your IRS.
How?
Too,
do
like,
you
sp- here
just
in
like,
California, or
I
in
just
the States,
paid exactly the amount of money that I needed to live.
But you have to
oh,
you have
I
to
gotcha.
Like pay yourself oh, an actual wage like for.
I know. I'm fixing it this year, man. I'm fixing it.
Yeah,
you'll get audited, get you. Dude. They'll audit
they'll
you.
No, my tax. My
they're
going to
audit
very...
you after this podcast. You're fucking dobbing him in, Will.
They're very meticulously done on the business side. I just don't pay myself anything. I just pay what I need, and I kind of don't. Especially with COVID, I didn't do anything.
Are you taking any draws or anything, or are you just not paying
anything? Is it bad if I ask you what's a draw?
A draw is when you take money out. So, like, if you own a business and you take money out of the business and put it in your personal account, it's like an owner's draw.
Oh, I just paid a salary because it was so small.
Salary you pay like all the extra employment taxes on.
I'm fixing
draw,
it this year.
You only pay income tax on. So the problem is if you only do owner's draw, you end up not paying into Social Security and stuff. And then you get
no,
for
I'm paying for the salary. I recently gave myself a raise, though, so.
But then everything combines into tax bracket. So owner's draw combined with salary come to tax bracket. So if at some point, if you've got a bunch of money saved up from like 5 years of not paying yourself and you try to do an owner's draw, you're going to put yourself into a crazy tax bracket.
No, I've just been paid. I think it's okay. I could just raise my – it could be fine. It's fine.
I think it's okay, said the man who didn't pay him basically anything.
I did because there's nothing going on last year, and I had other stuff that I was doing.
Oh,
like, you
my
know.
God.
The big thing is, like I said, I just don't really – I don't spend much money, so I just never really
no, –
yet you're
thing.
So excited about $100 million.
Because I would do it because I have big ideas
I would,
of what I
would
like
decide
to do.
That I would start spending money if someone gave me $100 million, even though if I paid myself with my successful YouTube business, I could already spend money.
No, but paying myself means I use it personally, where it's like, yeah. I don't buy clothes because they all get destroyed because I never change them to do my, I always wear my good shirt into the lab and it comes out with holes. So I just don't buy good clothes.
Right.
And it's just like, I think buying a car is a waste of money. And it's, I just don't really have much to spend money on. And then I eat at Taco Bell occasionally.
That's I'm pretty sure if any of you guys were given $100 million, you would just become like a giant dick.
Well, I would pay people to just do weird shit.
I would like, I would have one.
Exactly.
I'd just be like, I'll pay you $1 million for all your clothes right now.
$1 million if you eat this centipede I found on the ground.
I would.
Well,
that's going
back to billionaires going in space.
You'd have to eat $10 million centipedes a day. Every day to make $200 billion.
You have to eat 10 centipedes every day for the rest of your life.
Why don't billionaires do more elaborate things? Like, you know, we're saying
that's what I wondered.
Why not get more creative? Just do the fucking
because they're crazy.
But not crazy enough.
Yeah. The thing is, they're crazy yet detached from, like, regular society. Like, Elon Musk can't go anywhere. Like, dude, could you imagine Elon Musk, like, walking into a McDonald's? It would be a disaster.
Yeah.
He's, like, too famous.
Yeah.
Somebody probably would.
No. I could spend $100 million, but I would...
Imagine actually paying taxes.
Tax help.
The tax for dummies.
I don't know. It's a letter from the IRS.
Oh, no.
I have an experience with the IRS, and it was very unpleasant.
Here's what I don't understand. $200. They send you a bill for the taxes that they calculated that you didn't pay right, but then, like, why don't... They know what you have to pay. Why don't they just send you the bill in the beginning? Yeah.
It was like, you owe $250 because our calculation shows this and your calculation shows... Like, it looked like a scam letter, honestly.
No,
we sent it to the CPA.
It's made up.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know.
I got a letter and it kind of freaked me out because I don't pay myself anything. So when I had... Before I got an incorporation for the business, it was all under my personal name. And I get a letter saying, like, hey, you didn't file your sales tax in 2018. Because I sold like a couple pieces of merchandise. Mm. And they're like, because of that, we've calculated that you owe us $4,800 in back taxes.
What?
And I was like, oh God, that's like more money than I have in my personal account. I can't pay this. So then I talked to my accountant and he was like, oh, they just make that up.
Oh, they it is. It's like
they
estimated
literally
payments.
Make it up.
Yeah.
You know how much money I owed in taxes in reality?
A couple $100.
$27.
Nice.
That's fucked.
That's the sales tax. I think it was $40 in sales tax. But they go, we estimate almost $5,000. I was like,
I asked the
accountant, goes, they literally just make it up.
How much?
And just send it out.
If your tax is, let's say, 10%, even if we're being very, very egregious,
that would be
$5,000 times 10. So that means they thought you sold $50,000 worth of stuff.
I calculated that year. I think the total sales was like $3,000 total. Jeez. And you only get taxed for what's within Canada. It was just nothing. They just made it up.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So, Kevin, when they send you those bills... A lot of them are just like, you give them some numbers and they just calculate something. It might not even be.
Oh no, that's actually
it's just
what I
based
know.
On whatever you provide them.
Because I paid that. What I did was like, you're supposed to pay estimates of like what you think you're gonna owe. Like every quarter, you pay this much. And I didn't pay. I didn't pay them enough.
I don't do
I didn't
that
estimate
I
enough.
Pay
so
all
they said,
I just pay some horrific sum all at once and then I cry.
Yeah, that's what I
did. I did that last year for the first time. I was just like, I'd prefer not to make money, really. To see my money go away, I'm like, this is fucked.
It's a lot. You pay a lot of money to the government.
Well, like we've got fucked tax brackets compared to you. Ours go up to our top one's 47%.
We have that at $500,000.
You got 47. Oh, well, we get 47 at 150.
Ours might be like 40%. Oh, $150,000
dollars
too?
That's even when less. You start. So that's like 120,000 American is when you start paying 47% tax.
Yeah, because what happens is everyone who has $150,000 a year gets taxed a lot, but people who have $100 million a year get taxed almost nothing because they have so much money that they can figure out how to not pay taxes on that money.
Yeah.
Wait, so I found out it's not even much to start offshore bank accounts. and offshore residences. I was looking up, it's like, $5,000 to start one up in Bermuda.
You just need someone who kind of knows what they're doing.
It's insane. And then you pay zero tax.
Yeah, and then you probably, I don't think it's, technically, I don't think any of it's legal, but like they somehow still go away with it.
Because
like,
it goes into your business, but then you have to pay yourself tax income.
Right.
It's like,
and then you're just asking for, like, for trouble too. I think it's better just to pay your tax and
yeah, that way having an offshore account, like, you're not paying business tax, but you have to pay personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What did we learn today? Everything is terrible and billionaires should keep going to space, and then the government is actually probably what's broken.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure we learned
sad.
Something.
Just feel sad about how much money I make. Yeah.
It makes you sad.
This episode of the Save You Third podcast was sponsored by paying your taxes.
I was sponsored by meth.
The IRS has sponsored this podcast. They say the message they want us to say to you guys is pay your taxes or you're going to jail.
Oh God. Yep.
But only if you're only isn't it's only if you're poor you go to jail.
Only if you're poor you go to jail.
Yeah.
If you're rich, then they just
you'll
give you
go to space. That will send you. Yes.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll game you later, gamers.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.